to the Lamb. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory.
Daniel was written a long time ago. The purpose the book of Daniel was written was to encourage the believers to operate with faithfulness in times of distress and in times of discomfort. I believe those words are very applicable to us in our society today, in which Christianity is largely being marginalized by our culture. It is not treated with the respect that it once was and that it deserves. And Daniel has always been a favorite of mine because in Daniel you see a man, even from the beginning of the story, that is brought into the king's court. And though the city or the nation of Judah has been exiled and defeated by the Babylonians, Daniel still seeks his God with all his allegiance and with everything that he has and seeks to honor God. And he has words for us this morning that I think will apply to your lives. We're going to go ahead. I'm going to walk us through the book of Daniel a little bit, but our chief text is going to be in chapter 6 this morning. Daniel was winding his way through the marketplace on his way to the king's court. It was early in the morning as the crispness of the night still hung in the air. As he passed a food stand, a man was preparing for the commerce of the day beneath a brightly colored canopy. Out of the corner of his eye, Daniel spotted one of the Mede soldiers with a sword slung from his waist. As he strode by, Daniel was reminded of the Babylonians who had many years ago conquered Judah and taken himself and other young Judeans captive into the king's court. Daniel recognized the insight of the prophets who had rightly predicted Judah's downfall because of their idolatry. And Daniel, along with his friends, had resolved themselves to serve Yahweh even in their exile. They had thrived under the protection of the Lord through trials involving the blasphemous food they were ordered to eat while being trained in the king's court, and later from a blazing fiery furnace. God also touched Daniel and imputed him with the ability to interpret the dreams of kings. Today, the Medes are in power under the reign of King Darius. Daniel, along with two other men, served Darius in the king's court, providing oversight for the 120 local authorities the king had installed. In the Lord's care, Daniel had exercised unmatched integrity and diligence to his duties, so much so that the king had plans to promote Daniel as the chief and sole oversight over the entire realm. And while Daniel was enjoying at this point his view from the mountaintop of life, like all of us, he eventually makes his way to the valley floor. The administrators and those who had been placed as local governors learned of King Darius's intention to promote Daniel as the sole overseer. No doubt a greed, ambition, and jealousy moved their hearts as they sought to bring charges against Daniel. But finding fault in Daniel for which he could be charged proved to be a harder task than these conniving criminals had envisioned. For there was no bribe Daniel would take. And all that the king had put Daniel in charge of was in order and had been tended to such that it looked like Daniel had given the command himself. After many failed attempts, the men gathered together and said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps presented a plan to King Darius on behalf of all the local rulers in the kingdom, that for 30 days anyone who made petition to any god or man other than King Darius should be thrown into the lion's den. As the assembly fed Darius's pride, he consumed it whole and signed the ordinance. In this initial section here, the first 9 verses of chapter 6, we see that our trials may be caused by something that we don't expect. We can understand when our trials and our tribulations are on account of our sin and our bad decisions. But it's really tough for us to swallow the fact that sometimes our trials are caused by our own obedience. And that's what Daniel is experiencing here. Some of you this morning may be in the middle of a trial wondering where God is and what you've done. But the truth is, you may be suffering and have done nothing wrong. You see, we live in a world where God grants man the freedom of contrary choice. That choice which is contrary to the will of God, and that choice, when exercised, results in sin. And when exercised against us, may result in the trials we experience. That is Daniel's story this morning. Daniel was an exemplary Christian. He loved the Lord and operated in a manner that he wanted to make sure brought glory to God. And as a result of Daniel's faithfulness, he was made the subject of the plotting of evil men. We see this elsewhere in the Bible. We see Joshua and Caleb, who languished in the wilderness for 40 years, despite the fact that they were the ones who gave Moses the instruction that we should take the land that God had set before us. We see that Jacob was deceived multiple times by his scheming father-in-law, despite the fact that he worked dutifully and diligently for the marriage of his daughters and that provision which Laban later gave him. We see that Saul sought to take David's life, despite David being called a man after God's own heart. And in Jesus Christ, we see the most perfect man to ever step on earth to give himself up to a brutal death on a cross as an atonement for my rebellion, for your rebellion. Your trial may not be the result of your disobedience, but of your obedience. This is the mark of a world plagued by sin. So what are we to do with this idea of unmerited hardship that strikes against us and reeks of injustice? Let's look at Daniel and see how a godly man reacts. The shadows were lengthening when Daniel left the palace that evening. He was the last to do so. Walking through the courtyard on his way home, Daniel noticed a new decree was posted at all of the palace gates. By order of the king, all prayer and supplication made to any god or man besides King Darius himself for a period of 30 days would result in being cast into the den of lions. Upon finishing his reading of this edict, Daniel sets his jaw, furrows his brow, and strides briskly back through the market to his house. Upon his arrival, it is now dusk, and Daniel marched to the top floor of his home where the waning sun glowed on his face as he prayed loudly in those windows which faced Jerusalem, prayers which Yahweh heard from his throne in heaven, prayers which were heard by the local authorities which had gathered together in the shadows below. See, Daniel's obedience would not be deterred by his circumstance. It's worth noting that this ordinance was only scheduled to last for 30 days. Perhaps you've tried to set for yourself a manner of improving yourself, and you've said, well, I can do anything for 30 days, right? If all I have to do is eat kale and cabbage, anybody can do that for 30 days, right? If I have resolved to try and get out of my couch and get up in the morning so that I can exercise. Anybody can do that for 30 days, right? 30 days is not a long time for any of us with the breadth and length of our lives to do most anything. We can do anything for 30 days by and large. Perhaps Daniel could have skipped town for 30 days. After all, he was so valued by the king that he had intended to elevate him to the position of sole overseer over the entire kingdom. And as we will see shortly, the king endeavored to deliver Daniel anyway from this treachery once he learned about its impact on Daniel. Perhaps Daniel could have simply altered his routine for a month. He knew of a secret place in the palace where he could just hole up in a closet and worship in silence. After all, it would have been a lot more efficient for Daniel if he could just sit there in the palace and worship rather than walk back and forth to his house three times a day, as our scripture tells us, so that he could pray to his God. Daniel had any number of options he could have pursued for 30 days in which he could have evaded the intent of the plot against him, which was to have him captured and fed to some hungry lions. And he still could have worshipped his God in some way. But Daniel didn't do that. Daniel didn't do that because he saw the fear in changing. Daniel didn't do that because he knew who his God was. Daniel didn't do that because he was not a coward. Daniel had been brought from Babylon, or brought to Babylon, many years ago at this point, and God had seen him through some intense trial and tribulation. He knew who God was, and he was not about to bend his knee to the edict of the king in defiance of God's orders. And so that's what I want to ask, I want us to focus on this morning. What trial has God set before you today? What task is it that you feel God's hand has placed in front of you, which you up until this point have ducked and dodged because you're afraid of what God is asking you to do? That trial that you avoid because of the inconvenience it presents to our pursuit of ease of life and our comfort. What scary thing is there before you that if you would tackle it head on, like Daniel did, what scary thing is there before you that God wants to use to change your life and the lives potentially of those around you? Brothers and sisters, you and I are but ordinary men this morning, men and women. But we serve an extraordinary God. Amen. He would accomplish extraordinary things with us if we would only eschew our own personal comfort and ease of life to take hold and grasp that task which God has set before you, which you know you feel in your heart, you know God wants you to do, but you've come up with a reason not to do it. In this last section, we're going to see what happens when we choose obedience over comfort. The next morning, the administrators and satraps approached King Darius about Daniel's rebellion against the ordinance he had enacted. Though the king realized he had been manipulated, the administrators reminded him that the law of an infallible king could not be rescinded. With a heavy heart, Darius relented, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and the entrance to the pit was sealed. The pit was filled with darkness and the sounds of hungry lions. At once a bright light filled the den, and there an angel stood. He had appeared to Daniel as lightning, and he wore a snow-white robe. The lions lay surrounding the angel, their growling silenced, their mouths closed. The angel informed Daniel that the Lord had sent him to rescue him from the lions. And the angel conversed with Daniel and kept him company throughout the night. In the morning, King Darius's face appeared against the backdrop of the morning sky when the stone was rolled away. Daniel related the details of the evening to Darius, and both of them praised Yahweh. At once, Darius gave orders to bring the men and the families of those who had deceived him and they were cast into the den of lions themselves and mauled before they reached the floor of the pit. Darius then composed a letter which was sent to the furthest reaches of his kingdom, and this is how it read. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And the Lord continued to prosper Daniel in the land of the Medes and the Persians. You see, this is what happens when we set our focus, when we set our lives on fulfilling that which God would have us do. I feel like in America, and I don't want to project my own weakness onto all everybody in this room, but I feel like a lot of my life, a lot of my effort is spent so that I can have life easy. I can have maybe another implement on the tractor that would help me dig some post holes a little faster or straighter or better. I could have a car maybe that had fewer miles on it that wouldn't strand me more often than not. It would get me to where I go, right? I can have any number of things because my efforts and my diligence are directed to what would make my life easy. As an American, I think that's how we live to a large degree. I think there are many times that God gives us something and he sets it before us and he says, this is what I want you to do. And we say, God, I'm really not all that interested in doing that thing you would have me do. I really don't want to go talk to that person because whenever I talk to them, they always are the best at everything. They have always done that thing before me that I had done and done it better. And to be frankly honest, I'm just really not interested in their soul spiritual status. It's just not that big a deal to me, God. I just don't want to talk to that person. Or you've got a family member who you know because of your intimate relationship doesn't know who the Lord is. And there is a tension and a terror in your chest that overcomes you every time you try to speak to this person. And you relent to that terror, even though you know that person needs Jesus something fierce, right? The result of boldly trading the pursuit of our comfort for the pursuit of God's will is that our God, who holds all of our life in his hands, would be praised. And that, I believe, should mean something to people who stake their life in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is a big deal to you this morning, then the praise of God should be a big deal to you this morning. And Daniel's story tells us that if we would do what he would have us do, God would be praised. And I believe that the fame that's involved in this story, right? There are many people who don't even know who Jesus Christ is who have heard of Daniel and the lions, right? This story depicts to me that because of the level of terror, of strife that Daniel was under, he earned God a greater glory. And I think that's our story here today. If you have a monumental task before you, that you just can't see how God's going to do, if you would reach out and put your faith in the God who spoke something from nothing, if you would put your faith in him to accomplish that thing through you, because of its magnitude of impossibility to you, you would afford a magnitude of praise to God that you can't fathom. If you're staring at something this morning that is troubling you and has troubled you for a long time, the duration of your struggle affords you a unique opportunity to give God praise that he is due, right? Because if it's only for 30 days, yeah, good for you. You did that for 30 days. But if you are struggling with a physical condition that has beat you up for the most of your life, and you remain in that, and you walk you let God walk with you through that for years and years and years and years, when God finally calls you home, you will have earned a great praise for the Lord because you stayed faithful with God at your side through the duration of that experience. The greater the impossibility and the longer the duration of that impossibility, the greater opportunity there is for us to reflect praise to our God. As we close, I just want to ask you again, what task is it that God has set before you? What relationship is there that God has put on your heart to give your attention to, but you have skirted it out of inconvenience? What conversation is there that you have been compelled to have, but have kept clear of because of the tension in your chest? What task has God before you, set before you, that you have declined out of fear? Daniel teaches us this morning that our obedience to the Lord may earn us a nightmare. Yet if we choose to endure it, the glory of the Lord will radiate to the nations when He wakes us from it. If there's something in your life, if you've got a task in your life that you know God set before you, and you want to deal with that with God where you sit, please do that, and do that now as the Holy Spirit urges you to do so. But like Daniel, who just tackled his task head on, Jesus Christ didn't shirk His task either. He set His eyes to the cross and He marched there not because it was anything that He had done, but because you and I needed that. If you know that you're a sinner this morning and you haven't brought that to God and you haven't dealt with that, I urge you to do that this morning. If there's a task before you, I pray that you would deal with that this morning. That you would feel the joy that God would have for you in fulfilling the purpose that He made you. You infinitely unique in our situation, as you are the only person in your time, in your place, with the gifts that God has given you to accomplish the task that God has given you. I urge you to deal with that this morning and earn God the praise that He deserves. And give praise to Jesus Christ, who didn't shirk His responsibility to us.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life.